are under the principles of the world. You know what? This world, according to Isaiah 24, is going to be devoured by the curse. Think about that. The curse is going to be everywhere. Why? Because it says right there why. In Isaiah 24, why? 3, 4, and 5. It says, because they've broken the covenant. Broken the everlasting covenant. So, when men continue to break the covenant, the curse becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And soon there's going to be death all over this earth. Read about the horse riders, you know, and in Revelation chapter 6, you know. There's going to be death and destruction all over this earth. The only hope we have to walk through this and be vessels through whom the Lord can use is if we walk in the Spirit. And we know that God Almighty has told us that we are not under the curse. Therefore, if anything is involved in this curse, we don't have to accept it unless we give the devil permission by disagreeing with the Word. Jesus said, if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before the Father and before the holy angels. And confess means to speak the same as. What we need to say in front of men is what these promises say. And it does look silly when you tell people you're healed and they can look at you and tell you're not. And when you tell people you're delivered, and when you tell people you're blessed, and when you tell people you have the money that you need, and when you tell people that the moles are gone from your yard or whatever, you know. When you tell people those things, you boldly speak and proclaim those things, God is not going to let you be put to shame. The devil's going to tell you that. You're going to look like a fool. But you just step out there and speak it. Because that's what takes the authority away from the devil, is when you exercise your authority. You know, imagine yourself as a son of the King and not a beggar down here on this earth. Because the Lord Jesus gave us authority. And He said, if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father in heaven. And by the way, you don't have to have two. But if you need somebody to add their faith to yours, that's fine. We have authority to speak to the mountain. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. We have the authority to command and to speak. You know, a lot of our prayers are really out of place. We pray too much because a lot of Christians perceive themselves as beggars. You know, we need to take seriously the dominion and the authority that the Lord has given to us over this earth. Just as Adam was given authority over all the earth, but lost it through sin. You know, his servants you are whom you obey, the Bible says in Romans 6. And Adam obeyed the devil, and so he gave him dominion. But Adam and his children had dominion. And when Jesus came along, he was tempted of the devil too. But he didn't fall. And so he was able to pass that dominion on to his children who are believers. Not Christians. Not the way they call Christians nowadays. But believers. We're being proven down here. We're going through our wilderness to prove who it is that is a believer. See? And we've been given this authority passed on to us by our spiritual father, Jesus Christ, the last Adam. He passed this authority on to us that we might exercise his authority in this earth and command the same things he commanded. You know, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And now that's our job because we are the body of Christ now. We are the body of the real Jesus Christ. And as long as we agree with him, he's able to move through us and bless things around us and destroy the curse. You know, the Bible says that the salt has lost its savor. It's good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. You know why the tribulation's coming? It's coming because the salt has lost its savor. And God is raising up a beast kingdom to trample it under, to bring it to repentance. Because we're here to be salt. And salt was a preservative in the days that he spoke that. You know, it was an antiseptic and it was a preservative. And that's what we are. We're supposed to be preservative. But the Bible says that the earth is going to be devoured by the curse. Why is that? It's because God's people haven't taken their authority and their dominion and over themselves and over their families and over these things. You have to stand in faith until you see God answer. You have to speak it boldly and stand firm on the rock until you see God answer. And it will be done. And if we're double-minded, we're not really acting for God. We don't really take our dominion seriously. So a lot. Think about the prayers that you pray. Some of these prayers are out of place. They're really out of order because you're asking God to do the job that He told you to do, right? So we need to step forward. He gave us authority. These signs shall accompany them that believe. And He did say that they would lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and they'll cast out demons and they'll speak with tongues. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't harm them, and so on and so forth. You know, He gave us the authority as believers. And if we take it, we will have a very miraculous life. Anybody else, Terry?
Yeah, Tim was on here, and the testimony he was given, he said, before the study, we moved the computer and hooked everything up. Everything was good except for the monitor would not come on. Although it showed the power light, says we prayed over it and no change. I moved it back to the computer room and hooked everything up like I did before. And praise God, God healed the monitor.
All right, thank you, Jesus.
And Sister Rose was saying something about what my mom was saying about her tooth. She said something similar happened to me where I was told that I needed a root canal, and I told the doctor that the Lord is going to heal it. It took a while for the healing by faith, but He did do it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe, and you shall receive. And that what does that leave out, right? All things whatsoever is pretty inclusive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to God. Who else has a testimony? I have a letter here that I was asked to share in our Bible study. The answer, the question. You know. Once in a while, people send me a question in a letter or an email. And right now, I don't need to write any letters back because I've got my time pretty well tied up. But I thought I could answer some of these questions here that are asked that might be a blessing to somebody else. And maybe make a few comments. This is from Debbie. And Debbie said, lately I've been troubled about all the evil plans of our government and the concentration camps and how we're all to be labeled. And I pray always that we are accounted worthy to escape all these things. The thought comes to me. You know, I know a lot of people that dwell a lot on these things. You know, the concentration camps and the conspiracies that the government is doing. And have you ever noticed that a lot of the people that spend their time sharing these things don't know much about the good news? Have you ever noticed that? They can put a real burden on you. You know, sometimes a fear on you. Of these things that are coming down. And the Bible says, let your words always be seasoned with grace. You know, sometimes when we share these things, we need to share the other side of the story. You know? I don't like to dwell. I don't dwell on this stuff. The Bible says, Paul said, I would that you were wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. Some people study the evil so much that they don't have the good news in their heart and they don't have any faith. You study evil enough, you won't have any faith. Remember last time we were talking about the serpent on the pole that was raised up in the wilderness, and people got their eyes off of the snake bite and on the serpent on the pole. and they were healed. Well, you know what? A lot of people spend all their time looking at the snake bite. And when they do, they lose all their faith. Because it's not the bad news that's the power of God unto salvation. It's the good news. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Dwell on the good news. I'm not saying you have to be totally ignorant about what's going on in the world, but I can tell you what the Lord told me a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I'm not sure. He told me that spirits of paranoia were going to raise up people in this country to fight against this country, and that God Himself was going to use that to weed His body, because these people were going to be disobedient. They were going to fight against this country. And you know why people fight? Because they're afraid. They don't trust God. But you know, God is almighty. He is sovereign. He is working everything together for our good. But let me tell you, if you disobey His word and you get out there in the flesh rather than walking in the Spirit, He's also going to let a chastening come upon you. And that'll be for your good too. But you know what? If you let your mind get stirred up with a bunch of paranoia, because some of this is paranoia, folks. I'm going to tell you, you haven't got 2 or 3 witnesses. Have you ever noticed that? Especially stuff that comes over the internet. The problem is, out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established. A witness is not somebody passing on a rumor. And pretty soon, you get witnesses, all right, of everybody that's heard the rumor. And pretty soon you have lots of witnesses, but it's everybody that's heard the rumor. You know, it's not a witness. Okay? So be careful what you let into your mind, because it can rob you of faith. It can put fear in you. You know what? God's not going to tell you anything that's going to put fear in you unless it's the fear of the Lord, right? Because fear is the most dangerous thing you can permit in your vessel. It is faith in the devil. It is faith in reverse. It's faith in the curse. That's what fear is. You don't want to accept fear, because God can't defend you with fear. And yet, a lot of the people, like I said, who spend all of their time thinking on these conspiracies and thinking on the curses that are coming upon the world, why, they'd be better off being wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. Study the good. Put faith in you. Listen, you'll always recognize the false if you study the good. But you can't study enough of the bad to recognize every bad that's out there. There's too many possibilities. You understand? So when you know the good, you know all the bad. Because Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. So study the good. Get in the Word of God. All these conspiracy books, that's not obedience to the Word of God. That's not seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. There are people that don't study the good. And they wonder and they wonder why they're all riled up to get guns and store up food and do all the things that they think are going to save them in the days ahead. That's all just a big lie. They've gotten in the flesh. They don't trust in God anymore. You know, think about the 3 Hebrews. When they went into that furnace that was heated 7 times hotter. You know what 7 times represents? I think it represents the tribulation period. Because times, especially in the book of Revelation, is talking about years. Times and a half a time, that's 3.5 years. And 7 times could be 7 years of tribulation, of the fire, you see. Well, think about it. 3 Hebrews, they didn't bow down. They were bold. They stood right up to Nebuchadnezzar and told him how it was, you know. But the rest of the people did bow down to that image of the beast, and I can tell you why they bowed down. They were afraid. They were full of fear. The devil causes people to obey him through fear. Like I said, fear is faith in the devil. You believe he's able to do what he says. You believe that you're under the curse. You believe that you've got no protection from God, like the Bible teaches. See? And think about Egypt. You know, in Egypt, why did God bring all the curses upon Egypt? It's a clear type of our day. I mean, look at some of the judgments. They're the same ones in the book of Revelation, right? Why did God bring all those judgments upon Egypt? Did he do it to destroy the Israelis? Or did he do it to destroy the Egyptians? He did it to destroy the Egyptians and to set the Israelis free. That's why he did it. God is almighty and he's sovereign and he has good plans. Don't worry about what the government's able to do. And don't worry about those concentration camps. If you happen to be in one, you'll be there for your good. Some people, well, I don't want to hear that, Dave. But if you happen to be in one, God will use you there. You know what? He's going to have people there. You know what? He's going to have school in there, in those concentration camps. And I'm not saying everybody's going into one of them, because everybody's not going into one of them. And everybody doesn't go to jail, but some people that do go to jail can give a good witness to other people, right? And in Babylon, they were in bondage in Babylon. You know, everybody's worried about the Russians coming over here and conquering America. But you know what? When the bear conquered the eagle in the scriptures, it was for the purpose of setting God's people free. Did you hear what I said? Everybody's worried about... My kids went over to a man's house that was a nominal Christian, and his kid, you know, and my kids played together. And this guy was a survivalist. I never seen anybody like this guy. Man, he had rations stored up everywhere. He had every kind of gun, missile launcher, grenade launcher.
Wow.
He had rooms and rooms full of this stuff. And he was telling me about the Russians coming. I told him, Mister, you better worry about the Americans coming. Not the Russians coming. You know, it's the Americans we're going to have to worry about. When the Russians come, it's going to be to set you free. Listen to what I'm telling you. History repeats itself. The things that have been are the things that shall be. And the bear, the Medo-Persian bear, conquered the Babylonish eagle for the purpose, God sent the bear, for the purpose of setting God's people free from bondage in Babylon. That's right. America is going to bring the Christians into bondage. And the bear in our day is going to come to fight with America, and they're going to leave off persecuting and killing the saints when that happens. You hear me? That's what's going to happen. I got it from the Lord Himself. That's what's going to happen. The Lord is working for us. He's our Savior. That's His plan. He wants to prove Himself. He wants to prove the power of His salvation. We shouldn't be fearing anything but God Almighty. And if we don't, we'll be full of boldness. But be careful what you put in your mind. Be careful what you think on. Because some things, they don't have... I don't care if they are knowledge. All knowledge does not build up. The Word of God will build you up. It will prepare you for what's coming. Knowledge about the things that are coming doesn't necessarily prepare you for what's coming. In fact, knowledge can cause you to get in the flesh. And a lot of people are in the flesh. They're trusting in the arm of the flesh to save them in the days to come. But when you put the Word of God in your heart, that's Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is living in you, you don't have anything to worry about. Right? So, don't worry about the evil plans of the government. The government works for God. Did you know that? Read Romans 13. Even when they are used as vessels of dishonor, they work for God. You don't have to fear anybody but God. When He says He's working all things together for your good, that means good and evil. He works for your good. Everything around you works for your good. He works all things after the counsel of His own will, the Bible says. No one restrains His hand, Daniel said. He does according to His will in the armies of heaven and upon the earth. No one restrains Him. So, you know what? We don't have to worry about the government. Leave that up to God. He will take care of the government. What we need to do is make sure we are pleasing God. If a man's ways please the Lord, He makes His enemies to be at peace with Him. You understand why enemies are raised up against us? Enemies are raised up against us because in some way we're not pleasing the Lord. God raised up six beast entities against Israel because they weren't. And that was the larger beast entities, you know, Egypt, and Assyria, and Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. And then there were a lot of lesser beast entities, you know, like the Philistines and the Canaanites and so on and so forth. But six major times he raised them because they were in rebellion against God. That's why he did it. So you know what? If you want a defense, the best defense you can have is to please the Lord. Because then he's going to make your enemies at peace with you. He may not make them in peace with your neighbor, but he'll make them at peace with you. The enemies are for crucifying the flesh, which the Bible says is the enemy of God. You know? Yeah, Terry?
A couple of people put a couple of verses on here that were really interesting.
Okay.
Talking about things to think on. Philippians 4 and 8 describes the things to think on.
Yes, very good. Let's read that. Is that up the verse up there, Karen?
No.
No? Okay. Philippians 4 and 8. That's very good. And you know what? Conspiracy ain't one of them.
No.
And the threats that are all around you, that's not one of them. You know? I'll read it from mine. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you know they're true. If you got two or three witnesses, they're true. If they don't, you probably shouldn't even be thinking on it, you know? Because a lot of that stuff is not, I can tell you right now. And you know what? If you pass on a lie long enough, it becomes fact in this world. And there are a lot of that stuff out there, and we really got no reason to accept it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Actually, it says, take account of these things. Awesome. Well, you know what? He will give you peace for that, won't he? The Bible says in Isaiah 26, he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee.
The other verse was Galatians 5 and 17, because we're talking about the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy's coming against our flesh. And we're talking about the flesh and the spirit are opposed. That's another.
And if you back up in this chapter to verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So, just praise the Lord. Because our Almighty God is sovereign over this earth. And He is going to perfect us. And He's going to use everything around us to do that. Don't think there is any such thing as a loose cannon out there, folks. It's just not possible when you're talking about God's children. God didn't put His children here and put them under the dominion of the devil. He is sovereign. As in the book of Job, the devil is on a short chain. You know, and he has a good purpose. And he can bring us to repentance when we go astray. But let me tell you, it's for God's purpose, not his. You can always look behind the devil and see God. Because God is the one who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 6, in nothing be anxious. Now that must mean God's in control of everything. Nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. In everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, as though you've already received, right? With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Now, think about that, you know. What about all the conspiracy theories that we hear and all the threats that we hear and all the, you know, the concentration camps, which I don't doubt at all. I've seen pictures of them. One of our good friends that comes here, has come here in the past, Jimmy, he had a friend of his that actually had the contract to build one of those. I believe it was over in Mississippi that he built it. But I'm not worried about that. You know, the Bible says in Romans 13, if any man is for captivity, in the captivity he goeth. Who do you suppose, what do you suppose he means by is for captivity? Do you think that God's purpose is being fulfilled there or the devil's purpose? It's obviously, when you're talking about God's people, it's obviously God's purpose. is being fulfilled. There's nothing to worry about. Be anxious for nothing, right? If you're supposed to go into that for a purpose of purification or spreading the gospel or whatever, you know, trust in God and go there. You know, He brought the three Hebrews through it. He'll bring you through it, right? And He said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So if you do what He says, you obey what He says, you won't worry about a thing, will you? That's what He said. You won't be anxious or troubled about a thing. So let me read another part of this question here. I just read the beginning here. I pray always that we are accounted worthy to escape all the terrible things to come. Do you think that you and me and others in the Bible study will escape these camps? Because we aren't apostate. As you know, I am in a... I'll leave that part off. Do I think we will escape these camps? I believe that many people who have the right teaching will escape these camps. And because of things that the Lord has shown me and appeared to me and pointed out to me, I believe He's ordained me to share teaching with people that will help them not to go under the curse. In the text that Deborah's pointing out here, pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things. That's in Luke chapter 21. Actually, it's verse 36. But if you go back a little bit, you see exactly what we were talking about a while ago. All you got to do is please the Lord, and you don't have to worry about anything else. Verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Well, what would be a heart overcharged with surfeiting? You know, somebody's probably got a modern translation there, but I would say it's a heart that's overindulging in the world. You know? Surfeiting is a term that can be used for a hangover from drunkenness. Well, it's not necessarily physical drunkenness that a lot of God's people have a problem with, but it is spiritual drunkenness. You know? Not standing in reality, not perceiving the signs of the times, not having their eyes open to the light around them, you know. So not having your heart overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Well, I tell you, that's a big one for us Americans, right? The cares of this life. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the seed and it becomes unfruitful. It's a big one in America, and a big one anywhere there's prosperity and peace and protection and all those things. Sometimes God has to take all that away so that people value seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness and are not distracted by the things of the world. Sometimes He has to take it away, and He's going to do it for America, folks. We've got destructions determined by the Lord to come upon America. And we're not going to be able to pray them all away. It's just not going to happen, because they're coming for a purpose. I don't know if you've ever noticed or not, but in Matthew 24, when Jesus prophesied the things that were coming upon Israel, He never tried to pray them away. He prophesied that they were going to come, and He wasn't praying them away. He knew they had to come. For more than one reason, He knew they had to come. There are judgments coming upon America that are going to come straight out of the mouth of the prophets. They're going to be spoken on America. You understand? Look in Egypt, you know, who spoke the judgments? Moses and Aaron spoke those judgments. And it was for the good of God's people that they spoke those judgments. We want sometimes to defend America. It's not America that we're here to defend. It's Israel. And I'm not talking about physical Israel. I'm talking about spiritual Israel. We we who have been grafted into the olive tree called all Israel, no spiritual Israel, that's our nation. Peter said, the Lord said through Peter, that you are one nation. And we are together one nation, and it's called Israel. And it means He will rule as God. Did you know that? You know why you're called Israel? It's because God gave you the dominion over this earth. And before it's over, God's going to teach us to exercise that dominion. And He said, I'm going to read it again. He says, but take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you suddenly as a snare. Well, obviously it's not going to come suddenly on those people who are seeking first the kingdom and walking in the Spirit, is it? No. Verse 35 says, for so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of all the earth. There it is right there. You know who the people are that dwell on the earth? The people who walk in the flesh. Because the people of God don't dwell on the face of the earth. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 1 and 4. He chose us to be in Him from the foundation of the world. And so we abide in Christ, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. When you're abiding in Christ, you're not on the earth. You're abiding in heavenly places, the Bible said. So it's going to come upon everybody that dwells on the earth. You know, what's the cure? The cure is learn to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God will make your enemies to be at peace. And frankly, it's going to take the whole tribulation for the body of Christ to learn that lesson. Verse 36, but watch ye at every season and make supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things, or may be counted worthy, the King James says, to escape all these things to come and to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So some people will be counted worthy to escape all these things that he's listing there in Luke chapter 21. But the number one thing he tells you about there to cause you to escape these things is pleasing him again. You know, repentance and pleasing the Lord and walking in the Spirit. Many things we bring upon ourselves because, like we were saying a while ago, we give the devil permission by disagreeing with God's Word. Our protection is the two-edged sword of the Word of God. The Bible says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, we take up the Word of God and we use it like a two-edged sword. We can conquer our enemies. We can defend ourselves. And the shield of faith will defend us too. God's people aren't who don't really believe the promises of the Word tend to defend themselves and figure out ways to preserve themselves if these terrible things happen, you know. These people are all walking in the flesh. That will never defend you. None of that will defend you. The Bible says he that takes the sword is going to die by the sword. That's what Jesus said. The things that God's people are planning to defend themselves with just won't work. They won't work. And God's going to see to it that it doesn't work. He's going to prove his salvation is powerful to save and deliver and provide and do all those things that we need. You had a question, Terry? No?
Yeah, we have a couple of questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's see. One was, we don't belong to a church, so will the Lord use our relatives to persecute us? Another one was asking if you could suggest a church that closely aligns with what you're teaching and enjoy the Bible study.
Okay. Well, you know, we do belong to a church. We all belong to a church. And the word church is the word ecclesia. It means the called out ones. Which means you don't get to necessarily worship in the temple, right? Sometimes you're out there sitting on a rock with Jesus and letting him teach you, but you don't get to worship in the temple. But we do belong to a church. We all do. But we want to outgrow apostasy, for that's one of the reasons that tribulation is coming upon the world, is because of the great apostasy in God's people. And so we want to depart from Babylon and go to Zion, basically, because it's the only place of safety. Notice it says here, by the way, in Luke 36, it says, that you may prevail to escape. Watch ye at every season, making supplication, that you may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. What do you think he means there? Stand before the Son of Man. That's interesting. Where does the Son of Man stand? I can remember one place in the Bible where they stood before the Son of Man. Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and 1. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name, the name of his Father, written on their foreheads. Well, they're standing before the Son of Man, and they have his name on their foreheads, which means his nature, his character, and his authority. That's why they're standing on Mount Zion before the Lord. You know, Mount Zion was the place where the temple was, right? It was the place where the presence of God was. Jesus is the temple, isn't he?
Mount Zion was where the temple was.
Yeah. And it was the place of the presence of God. It was the place where the people lived who were the closest to God. If you want to see the literal type in the Old Testament, it was the place where they lived the closest to God. And these people seem to be escaping the judgments that are upon the world. He gives a few reasons why. Number one, the name on the forehead. The nature, character, and authority of the Father on their forehead. That's the renewed mind of the Spirit. In the chapter before, he talks about the name of the beast in the forehead, on the back of the hand. Which, of course, is the nature, character, and authority of the worldly lost man, you know. It is the number of man. 666 is the number of man. So, you don't have to do anything to have the mind of the beast, or the mind of the flesh, but you have to renew your mind to have the name of the Lord on your forehead. Right? And he goes on to say in verse 4, these are they that are not defiled with women. And that's talking about the sects or divisions of Christianity. Because he uses that term all through the Bible. Seven women shall take hold of one man in that day, saying we'll eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Well, just let us be called by your name. And that's talking about the different sects of Christianity. He don't want us to be defiled with religious teachings. He wants us to accept the pure, undefiled, unleavened bread of the Word of God. Right? Pure. Nothing added. And he says they're virgins. Why are they standing before the Son of Man? Because they're not defiled with women and they're virgins. Meaning they haven't received the seed of men. They're receiving the seed of the Word of God. Right? The seed in Matthew 13... was the Word, and the Word there is sperma. So these are virgins because they're not receiving the seed of men. And they're standing on Mount Zion before the Lord. He says, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So they're disciples, because that's what disciple means, a learner and a follower, right? They're following the Lamb whithersoever he goes. They were purchased from among men to be the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. Well, now here you know what it is to be out from under the curse of this world, is to be grown up in God, matured in God, walking and following Him, having a mind renewed with the Word of God, not with the teachings of man or with the conspiracies of man, but with the Word of God in your heart. And this is, now he's talking here about the first fruits, but let me tell you, the first fruits is not the only fruits, is it? This is what it is to bear fruit, is to stand before the Son of Man and be a follower of Him. The first fruits is not the only fruit. The first fruits is always used by God to raise up the second fruits, right? And so, other people are coming to this position. You know, Jesus raised up disciples that came into His image and did His works, and they were called Christians. Very few today should be called Christians, but they were called Christians because they were coming into His image, which is what Christian means, right? Christ-like. And that's one reason tribulation is coming, is because the Christians are not Christ-like. And God wants His people to come to maturity and purity before He comes to get them. And it's a pure delusion to think that the church is going to fly away anywhere because it don't look anything like Him. I mean, the church has born strange children, the Bible calls them, strange children, because they don't look like the Father. You know, God's not going to put up with that. That's why tribulation is coming to cause His people to see the need of seeking His face and running after Him and coming to this holiness and this maturity. You know, He says here that they're standing upon Mount Zion. And Mount Zion represents something in the Bible. You know that every beast kingdom in the Bible, all of those, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, all of those beast kingdoms are alive today. The Bible says their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged. And the last beast has the seven heads, which are those world-ruling empires. Each one of those world-ruling empires is a sign of part of what the end-time beast will do. And if you go, for instance, and look at Assyria, you see attributes of what the end-time beast is going to do. Or Babylon, or Rome. You see attributes there of what the end-time... The whole story cannot be of the beast cannot be put together without looking at each one of these, because it is a seven-headed beast. It's kind of like looking at all the Gospels to find out what the man-child's going to do. Because that's what the Lord told me. The Gospels are the story of the first 3.5 years of tribulation period, when the man-child ministry goes on. So if you look at all four Gospels, you get a pretty good picture of what Jesus did. He was the man-child, the first man-child, right? And so I brought that up to say this. If you go back in, say, 2 Kings, 2 Kings 19. And verse 30. This was when the Assyrian Empire was conquering Israel. It didn't get to conquer all of Israel. Do you know that? Didn't even get to touch all of Israel. You want to know how to be protected from these things that are coming? I'm not saying you won't go into a concentration camp. I don't know if you read the book of Acts or not. Did you know? Do you see how many times in the book of Acts God sprung His people out of jail, out of prison? Why did He do that? I'll tell you, one thing the Lord told me was that the book of Acts was the second 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And everything that happened there will happen in the second 3.5 years of tribulation period. You know that God's going to spring His people out of jail and out of prisons? He's going to do it. And there's other people that are never going to go there in the first place. When America is invaded, there is a certain group of God's people that are going to be protected. It's the people in the ark. When Israel was invaded, there was a group of people that were protected. And I've seen a couple of visions of this. That's why I know what I'm talking about. Verse 30, 2 Kings 19:30, it says, And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion they that shall escape. The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So God is saying, the people in Zion are going to escape. A remnant that is hidden there will escape. From what? Well, in this case, he's talking about the Assyrian beast, right, that was invading Israel and was permitted to take all of Israel except for the people in Zion. God's going to protect these people. They represent something. They represent the people who are holy, the people who are standing on the kingdom of God, that mountain, Mount Zion. On the top of that mountain was the temple of God. And so God protected these people. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, them that shall escape. We pray that we be counted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. Well, they were standing on Mount Zion, weren't they? And these people are on Mount Zion too. And he says down in verse 33, he says, 32, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come unto this city, nor shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come before it with shield, nor cast up a mound against it. By the way which he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come unto this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. So God smote the beast when he attempted to touch the people that were on that mountain. Again, that mountain represents those who are walking close to the Lord. They were delivered of the invasion and the curse and the dominion of the beast. They were delivered from that. The Bible says in Micah, turn there to Micah chapter 4. In verse 7, say, David, I don't know if I could ever be that holy. You know, well, you can on your own, but God is going to take some people that are nothing like that and bring them to just such holiness, just such purity. Verse 7, it says, and I will make that which was lame a remnant. Notice that. So there's hope for us, right? I'll make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. God's going to bring dominion back to his people who are dwelling in Mount Zion. I know some of you may be thinking, what are you talking about, dwelling in Mount Zion? Are the Christians going to go there and dwell in Jerusalem? No, I'm not talking about the Jews' Mount Zion. I'm talking about our Mount Zion. You know, our kingdom of spiritual Israel also has a Mount Zion. And it's, according to the Apostle Paul, it's not a mountain that you can touch because it's not physical, it's spiritual. And he calls it the Tower of the Flock. If you want to read about that, you can go to Revelation chapter 12 because he tells you plainly that this is not a physical mountain. He calls it the spirits of just men made perfect. And he also says there in verse 20, he says that even if a beast touches that mountain, it will be stoned. You understand? God's not going to let the beast touch that mountain because it represents holiness. We're here to become holy. After you become holy, are you under the curse? Absolutely not. And we claim that we're not under the curse now by faith. And faith gives us the benefits of God. We are reckoned righteous by faith. Faith gives us the benefits of God, gives us the protection and the deliverance of God. That's why we need to study these things and get them down in our hearts so we know and understand what is our rights from God. The devil studies our rights. He tries to use them against us. He's a lawyer. He's a good lawyer, too. We need to study him like a lawyer because we need to demand our rights from him. And Jesus told us that. He said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. We have to take this, not from God, from the devil. He resists us. It's a warfare. But it's our right. So Paul said in Hebrews 12 that you come to this heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You thought it was up there in the sky, didn't you? No, it's down here. And because we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, you see. And to the innumerable hosts of angels, said, you are come to this. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, to the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. See, we have a capital city too. And it's not old Zion. Our mother, Paul said, is that New Jerusalem. That's our mother. They're, those whose mother is the old Jerusalem, these are children of the handmaid, Paul said, not children of the free woman. We're out from under the law. We're children of the free woman. We're members of the New Jerusalem. But we don't live there in many ways. See, Paul said that the church had come to this place in that day, but you know what? They were led away captive after that. He talked about the great falling away. There's a parable in the Scriptures of going to Zion or being in bondage in Babylon. And Babylon represents apostasy and false religion and religion that lives after the lust of the flesh and so on and so forth. And the Lord wants us to go to His tower. Micah 4 and 8 tells us. He calls it the tower of the flock. See, God has got a place of protection. That's what these towers represent, a place of protection. The Lord wants to protect us. But we've got to get in the tower. You know that Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in, and they're made safe. The name of the Lord. That's it. The word there means nature, character, and authority. And you're made safe. Zion represents that tower. The people that are on Zion, they have the name of the Lord on their forehead. Notice Revelation 14. Now we're seeing it again. And the Lord took me to that tower. He took me to the top of that mountain one time. And I saw Jesus sitting on the throne of David on the top of that mountain. And another time, He took me there and He showed me inside what looked like the New Jerusalem, a tower built, just like the Israelites built for protection to enable them to escape the invading enemy. And I saw a tower there. And the Lord Himself handed me a payment book with so much a month on it, which we have lived on for many, many, many years. And He handed me this payment book and He said, He pointed to this tower and He said, because my son died in the ministry, I want you to have this. And I knew that the Lord was showing me that my ministry was to help people to abide in the tower called Zion. I learned that later. At first I didn't understand what the tower was, but I learned that later. And the tower of the flock is our New Testament Zion. You see, when an enemy invaded the broad, tall walls of Zion, represented security, and all the people would flee in there and be protected from the invading beast. if you see the beast the way the Bible tells you the beast is, which is basically the whole world outside of Christ, the body of the beast, then you understand that all nations are going to hate you according to what Jesus said. And they're going to seek to persecute and kill you. But God's got a place of protection. It is the people that don't need purification. They don't need crucifixion. The beast is here for a purpose. He's here like he was here for Jesus. He put him on the cross. It was the Roman beast that put Jesus on the cross. And the beast in our day, because God's people avoid the cross at all costs, the beast in our day is coming to put Christianity on the cross. And that's for our good. Let me say, who doesn't need to go to the cross except someone that's already been there? Who doesn't need to die except somebody that's already dead? The best protection we can have is to repent now. Turn to the Lord with all of our heart and turn away from this world and grow up in Him. Put the Word of God in our hearts so that what comes out of our mouth is in agreement with Him and binds the devil from executing the curse on us. That's what the devil does. He executes the curse on God's people who disagree with the Word. And you walk in sin. So when you talk about protection, there isn't anything, the Bible says righteousness delivereth from death. There isn't anything physical you can do that will protect you from what's coming. It just won't happen. Because this is God's purpose. He's almighty and we're not stronger than He is. If any is for captivity, if any needs to go to the cross, they will go there. Because God is almighty. And we're not stronger than this beast that God is raising up. And God's raising up a beast that's much bigger than Christianity. Just like every beast that God raised up in the Old Testament was much bigger than little Israel. That's the type for us now. God is bringing an overwhelming force against Christianity. The only way you can deal with it and I can deal with it is in the Spirit. Because we can't wrestle with flesh and blood that's so powerful. And that's God's purpose. But we've been called to abide in Zion, the place of safety, the tower of the flock, and to be protected from the beast kingdom that's coming. Another thing, you know, that Debbie pointed out in this thing here. Let me point something out to you. It says in Luke 21 and 36 that we would escape all these things. Now you would think if there was some physical way to escape all these things, God would give us some advice, you know, concerning that, but He really doesn't. He gives us such things as this. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. You want to escape all these things? How come God doesn't give the advice that Christian leaders do? Thank God, you know. He don't give that kind of advice. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us how we shall escape these things. I'm going to go back just a little bit. Chapter 1 and verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? He's talking about the angels whose job it is to serve us in this quest of salvation and serve God in our behalf. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest happily we drift away from them. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Notice, it's God that is making sure the just recompense of reward is being dealt out. It's God Almighty. The devil don't have sovereignty in this regard. But the angels want to administer God's salvation. Verse 2, for the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He didn't say how would we escape if we got, like my friend over there, a house full of guns, you know, rocket launchers.
Yeah.
This is crazy. First thing they're going to do, you remember David Koresh?
Yeah.
Should have learned a lesson from that fellow. If he hadn't armed himself to the teeth with the purpose of using all that, the VATF would have never come after him. He died because he fell into one of God's promises. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword.
He deceived himself, didn't he?
Yeah, he deceived himself and a lot of other people too.
Yeah.
How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He didn't say, he didn't give you anything physical to hide behind here. If we do not neglect our salvation, we will escape. Now is the time, folks. This is the time when we need to grow up in God, seek first the kingdom. Now is the time. You know what? The first fruits are going to escape it all, aren't they? First fruits, we looked at in Revelation 14, they're going to escape it all. And thank God that Noah in the ark is going to escape the flood. He's the second fruits. See, there was Enoch, and then there was Noah. Right? And he's going to escape the flood. So, our spiritual city, the city of God, the Bible says, you know, you hear the song too that comes from the Bible. Let's go up to Zion. Let's go up to Zion, the city of the great King. Yeah. And the people who live in Zion, the Bible says in Psalm 124, the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the lot of the righteous. Did you hear that? The scepter of wickedness shall not rest. That means the dominion of wickedness. That's in Psalms 124. Excuse me, 125. They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. Now, he's not talking about physical Mount Zion here. He's talking about spiritual Mount Zion. It is eternal. And it can't be moved. He said, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest from the lot of the righteous, that the righteous put not forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. So, if you walk after our crooked ways, which are, by the way, you know, following these teachings of man, the perversions of man, then we're going to have to put up with being among the workers of iniquity and receiving their judgments. But the scepter of wickedness is not going to rest on the lot of the righteous. And he's saying that's the people on Mount Zion. It's the tower of the flock.
What about Revelation 3:10?
I believe that's the first fruits too. 3:10. One day I'd like to share with you what the Lord showed me about the man-child and the dominion and the protection that God's going to afford to these people even though they're on the earth. You know what Jesus said? No man takes my life. I lay it down. Nobody could take his life. Revelation 3:10, because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of trial. that hour which is to come upon the whole world, listen, to try them that dwell on the earth. Interesting. Now you think, well, he's talking about these people who are flying away to heaven. No. All through the scriptures it talks about those that dwell in the earth and those that dwell in the heavens. And in the people of God who are abiding in Christ dwell in the heavens. Abiding in Christ is to walk as He walked, the Bible says. You know what? Jesus was walking in the perfect protection of God. He said, no man takes my life. They tried to take His life several times. And He passed right through their midst. They weren't able. Why? Because Jesus wasn't under the curse. He took the curse upon Himself willingly. But He did not deserve the curse. And He was not under the curse. He bore it for us. He became cursed for us that we might have Abraham's blessings. See? And the man-child that is to come, the first fruits company that is to come, these people are not under the curse either. And why? Because they're abiding in Christ. They're grown up in Him. They're the first fruits to come to maturity. The first fruits. Not the only fruits, the first fruits, right? To come to maturity. And they're abiding in Him. And they are protected. And they're since this is a spiritual man-child, not the physical man-child, they're going to go through spiritual death, burial, and resurrection too. Just like Jesus. Paul spoke about that spiritual death, burial, and resurrection in Philippians chapter 3. He called it maturity or perfection. That's what he called it. So these people are going to grow up in God. This is what we need to do now to be protected from everything, is to grow up in God, to please Him. And Hebrews says if we neglect our salvation, how can we escape? You know what? Why does he mention the angels there? In Psalm 91, the Bible says, in that great chapter about God's total absolute protection from every kind of a curse, He said He'll give His angels charge over you and they'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. See? That's the kind of protection. When we talk about the ark, the last 40 days in the ark, we're not talking about a boat here, folks. We're not talking about a building. We're not talking about any place that you can hide out. We're talking about God giving His angels charge over you lest you even dash your foot against the stone. You can't have an accident when one of these angels is next to you, protecting you. See, that what we just read in 2 Kings? One angel killed 185,000 members of the body of the beast that came against Israel. Just one angel. Now, you got one of them standing next to you. Can you imagine? And that angel's waiting to hear you agree with the Word of God so he can protect you. Did you know that? When you disagree with the Word of God, you know what that angel does? He has to back up.
You're binding him.
He has to step aside. You're binding him. You're not giving him any authority. You know, we need to know our authority to have this protection too. In Revelation chapter 12, it says 7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon. And the dragon warred and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Notice, he's not talking about the angels overcoming them, although they did. He's talking about the saints overcoming the devil and his angels. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony or witness, and because they loved not their life even unto death. They overcame him because of the word of their witness, the testimony. You know what? They agreed with the word of God, which gave Michael and the angels authority to move Satan out of the way. When we agree with the word of God, that's what Psalm 102 tells us. You know, that the angels are mighty in strength to fulfill his will, hearkening unto the voice of his word, the Bible says. They hearken, they listen to the voice of the word of God. They only fulfill the word of God. Did you know that? I remember reading a book years ago that was very interesting. The man who talked with angels, angels on assignment. And this man, I think his name was Buck, Roland Buck. And he asked one of these angels that appeared to him, do you obey us? And the angel said, we only obey the voice of God. See, you can talk to your blue in the face, but it has to be the voice of God. It has to be the word of God. They obey the word of God. Yeah? They don't obey humans' commands. They obey the word of God. And when you make a command, you know the angels go forth to fulfill that. The angels have authority to defend you and to cast down Satan when you speak the word of God. You remember when Jesus sent out the disciples in Luke? He cast out demons and they came back rejoicing that the demons were subject unto him. Huh?
Lord, you said, I saw lightning fall from the heavens.
Exactly. You know what Jesus said? I saw Satan fallen as lightning from heaven.
Why did Satan fall?
Because these people who were going out with the word of God and them casting out demons were destroying his dominion. They were casting him down. And that's all they mentioned. But Jesus said, I saw Satan fallen from heaven. It's like, you know? They were casting him down. Well, who did the physical casting down of Satan? You'd say Michael and his angels, right? Well, why did they do that? Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father and the holy angels. See, those angels don't move unless you're agreeing with the Word of God. When you agree with the Word of God, they've got authority. I mean, it only took one angel to bind Satan and cast him in the pit. One angel. They're powerful. But they don't have authority to move. See, we have authority on this earth. We have been given authority.